April 1st, 2024, we're in Masechet Bava Kama on Daf Kaf Bet Amud Bet. If you count from the top of the Amud down, it's three lines down, right in the middle of the line where it says Ta Shema. The Gemara is, as we remember, dealing with the Mahlok, the dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lakish about the obligation, the liability of Esh. Is Isho Mishum Hitzav, in other words, we imagine, understand, in terms of concept, the way that you're obligated to pay for damage which was caused by your fire is as if it was an extension of you, so to speak, like your arrows. Or alternatively, as Isho says, Resh Lakish, Mishum Mamono. What does it mean, Mishum Mamono? It's detached from you. It's not the arrows which are a direct extension of you, the bullet which you shot. It's rather your animal that damaged. It doesn't have so many differences. Ultimately speaking, you're going to be obligated to pay for the damage which was caused by your fire, but we have significant differences, which the Gemara is testing out with regards to these two opinions. Here's the next stage. Says the Gemara, Tashema. Tashema means come and listen. The Gemara is citing a Beraita from later on. A Mishnah from later on. Says the Mishnah, Hamadlik et Hagadish. If a person purposefully lights a heap of hay on fire. The hayagidi kafutlo, and connected to that pile, that heap of hay, there's a gidi, that's a kid, that's a animal which is kafut. It's tied up to that heap. Ve'eved samuchlo, and nearby there's a slave, an eved kenaani. Ve'nisraf imo, and what happens in such a circumstance is that they all get burnt. The heap of hay, in addition to that, the gedi, and in addition to that, the eved. What's the halakha in such a
slave? The slave was also attached.
It doesn't say so. It just says the eved samuchlo. The eved is not tied up. He's just nearby. Hayav. What's the halakha in such a circumstance? Hayav. Two lines from the top in Rashi. Well, first, top line in Rashi. Vaya gedi kafutlo lagadish. What is the gedi, that animal connected to and tied up with the gadish? Ve'eved samuchlo, what's the eved nearby to lagadish, to the heap of hay? Now, ve'nisraf imo hayav. The halakha says, the Mishnah is, if in lighting that heap, that pile of hay, you burnt everything at once, hayav. What are you hayav for, says Rashi? Agedi, the agadish. You're obligated to pay the financial restitution charges. What's that? For the hay which was burnt, and in addition, for the gedi, the animal which was killed. She'en lo din mita bishvil ha'eved, as explains Rashi, that Mishnah later on, you're not obligated with your life for killing that slave, shahaya lo livroach, because we say the slave should have fled. The fact that the slave was not tied up, was just nearby, I happen to have lit the gadish, certainly the gedi, which was nearby and connected, tied up, I'm liable for as well. It couldn't run away. The Eved, I'm not liable for that. He should have run away. So far, those are the words in the Mishnah. To summarize, if a person lights an area on fire, the area and items in that area which he damaged, he's liable for. If there's an Eved, a human being nearby, not liable, if provided that the Eved is not kafut, he's not tied up.
Is it a malicious?
Absolutely. No, malicious, why not? Absolutely. Purposeful. We're not dealing with galut, it wouldn't matter. With regards to damages, we don't distinguish. With regards to death penalty, we might, but that's not the issue over here. Let's, for argument's sake, no reason not to. Maliciously, purposefully, I'm angry at my neighbor and I lo aleinu light their gadish on fire. What if, continues the Mishnah and says, eved kafut lo. It's not that the animal was tied up to the heap, but rather the slave. Ugedi samuchlo. And then the animal is just nearby. In other words, it's not tied up. So we're just flipping those two. Whereas in the first case, the gedi was kafut, the gedi was tied up. In the second case, what we call the sefa, the eved is kafut. Venisraf imo, and all three get burnt, patur. In such a circumstance, I'm patur. In what respect am I patur? Rashi, three lines from the top, two words before the end of the line. Eved kafutlo, Ugedi samuchlo, venisrefu imo patur. Explains Rashi, what are you patur for? Agedi va'agadish. Same issues that we mentioned in the first clause that you're hayav for, and the second, you're patur for. In other words, the financial charges for the animal and the heap of hay. Why should I be patur? Dekamle bedrabamine. Because of a principle we'll define in a moment called kamle bedrabamine. Shehahoreg ha'eved neherag dichtiv nakom yinakem. Rashi cites a pasuk which explains that if a person purposefully kills a slave, that person is liable for death penalty. What does this all amount to? It goes like this. If I, lo aleinu, if a person, let's make it that way, lights that gadish, lights that heap of hay on fire, the slave is tied up to the gadish, there's no questioning, in lighting that fire, you'll be killing the slave as well. In so doing, you've killed the slave, burnt the heap, and the gedi, the animal which was nearby, dies as well, is damaged as well. My liability, excuse me, the person who did so's liability is death penalty. We have a principle, kamle, means we pick up for him, bidrabamine, the higher level of the two or of the several. In other words, in the example I always give is there's a shootout in the street. I don't know where you live, but there's a shootout in the street. One person kills the other, and the family brings in court the clothing and says, we want you to repay for this clothing. We want a dry cleaner bill and so forth. This individual who's liable right now for death penalty says, Kam le bidrabamine, I'm getting put to death. You're not charging me. Is there a logic to that? Hard to tease out the logic, although there is. It's a pasuk, the Gemara in the third chapter of Masechet Ketubot cites it from a pasuk in the Torah where two people are fighting and a pregnant woman passes by. If the pregnant woman passes by, the Torah seems to say, and one of them strikes her, killing her and the baby inside, he's liable only for her life. In other words, he gets put to death. If, however, she doesn't die, and only the babies inside die, well, then there's a charge in terms of finances, how much you pay for it. You see that when you're liable for death penalty, according to Torah law, you don't pay financial charges as well. Judah now is already raising the issue, and that is, it needs to be, the Gemara there is very clear about this, it needs to be what's called be'idne, meaning they need to happen simultaneously. Not so difficult yet over here, because keep in mind, it was one action which caused all this. And we're not certain exactly in the moment that the person dies and the burning, but Judah might... What's that? Hang tight on the Gedi. Right now on the Gadish and the person. Gedi we'll address a little bit further in Rashi. But first on the Gadish. What we will develop further on in this sugya, but we can mention it already now, is that the Gemara's suggestion, Rashba makes this clear in a bit, and we're kind of being somech on that from now, at least for Resh Lakish. Too complicated in this moment. I'm gonna remove all those complications. Rashba's punchline is the reason you're patur in each of these circumstances from restitution is because we determine you to be considered what's called rodef. Allow me to explain. We learned this in Masechet Sanhedrin, in the Daf Ayin Gimal range, where the Gemara talks about what's called rodef. If a person is racing after another person to kill him, we say in that situation, this person has a bullseye on his head. We look at him as if, so to speak, he's already dead. If as he's chasing after another person, he starts knocking down utensils and things of that sort, since he's a dead man running and racing, he's patur. So the answer to Judas question is that when Rashi says kamle b'drabamine, already here he probably means as a rodef. That's the way Rashba learns this sugya. In other words, you're right. The action is not in the very same split second that the death per se happens and the financial charges, or at the very least there's continued financial charges or preceding financial charges, but we can and should determine that this guy is considered rodef. That's why he's going to be patur for the obligations of payment. Well, that being the case, that's what we've gotten up to. I have to address Nathan's issue in just a moment. The Sefa then of this Mishnah taught us the following. If there's a Gedi, which is samuchlo, meaning the animal is nearby, and there's a person, an eved specifically, who's kafut, he's tied up. In such a circumstance, by lighting the gadish, the heap on fire, I'm liable for death penalty. We're going to use the word rodef already now. I'm considered a pursuer, and as a result, I have a bullseye on my head. I'm looked at as if I'm dead from now. I'm not liable for any of the financial charges. I am liable for death penalty. Nathan asked, the same way in the Resha, in the first segment of the Mishnah, we said with regards to the Eved, the slave, he could have run away, and that's why I'm not liable. You don't need Kamle B'derabamina, you don't need a fancy interpretation, Rodef, to say that I'm not liable in this situation for paying for that Gidi that could have run away. It could have run away. The fact that I lit this on fire, it wasn't tied up. I wasn't certainly going to be killing that animal. Why is it that we're lumping into this sequence, into this equation, the fact that the reason I'm patur for paying for the gidi is also for kamle b'derabamine? We should say, just like in the first case where the slave was just standing nearby, hey, I don't know why he didn't run away. That's not on me. So too over here, I should say about the animal, I don't know why he didn't run away. That's not on me. It's true, I lit the fire. I'll pay for the damages that I caused, but anything that could have happened otherwise, I shouldn't be liable for. Rashi here in Diburam, the same Diburam Matril Evet Kafut, if you just go down a little bit further, he writes, Va'ayede denakat gabe Evet Kafut, Visamuch, Nakat gabe Gedi, Kafut Visamuch, Ve'afal gavde begedi, En Lomar, Hayalo Livroach, Share, En Bodat, Ve'meno Kafut Visamuch, Name Hayav. Rashi Shita, his opinion here on Daf Kaf Bet and Masechet Bava Kama, is that we say about animals in this circumstance, en bahem da'at. We say about the animal, there's a fire, you can't imagine as the person who's damaging that animal's going to run away. They don't have those sorts of instincts, and as a result, you would be obligated had there not been an Eved that you killed. In other words, were the case to be, there's just the pile and the Gedi nearby, so there's the heap and they take the Eved out of this, and I light that Gadish on fire and it kills the Gedi, according to Rashi and Daf Kaf Bet, I'd be Hayav for the Gedi as well. A Gedi, we don't distinguish between tied up or not, we say En Bo Da'at. Animals don't have that sort of knowledge. That's Rashi Shita over here. Notably, Rashi has a stira. Rashi and Daf Samech Aleph goes differently. This Tosafot is Rabbeinu Tam and Rashbam. This is a wide debate. Really not our issue per se for the moment, but that should be noted with regards to the animal. Okay, but that means to say that what we've addressed then in this Mishnah is a twofold statement with regards to lighting this heap on fire. Let's read the words again and then move to how this is relevant to our conversation. Three lines from the top again. Tashema, says the Gemara, come and listen to the Mishnah. From later on, Hamadlik et hagadish, if a person sets aflame a heap, a pile of hay, v'haya gedi kafut lo, and there was a gedi, a kid, which is tied up to it, ve'eved samuchlo, and nearby untied is an eved, v'nisraf imo, all get burnt at once in some way, hayav. In such a circumstance, I'm obligated to pay for the Gedi and for the Gadish. Not for the Eved, we say Eved has da'at, should have fled, not on me. Eved, the Sefa says, what if Eved kafutlo? What if the slave is tied up, v'gedi samuchlo, and the Gedi is nearby, and such a v'nisraf imo, and I light the Gadish, the heap on fire, and all are burnt or die. Patur, in such a circumstance, I'm exempt from paying for the heap, and we're adding in for the Gedi, which maybe I would have been liable for otherwise. No, I'm patur for all because of Kamle B'Drabamine. Since I have a liability of death penalty for killing the slave, so too I have I have an exemption for paying for anything else. Since I'm liable for death penalty, I'm therefore patur. We're using the word rodef already from now.
In the first case, in Resha, though, didn't we learn previously that the Eved Kanani is considered like property, and that so if the Eved Kanani dies,
we learned that the Eved is considered like property with regards to if a shor gores it, with regards to a kenas. If a person directly or whatever kills it, that's why Rashi quoted us a pasuk. The pasuk in the Torah, he cites it here from Shemot Perek Kaf Aleph, that says the pasuk, V'chi yakeh ish et abdo o et amato bashevet vame umet tahat umet tahat yado nakom yinakem. We're considering it direct. But you touch upon the issue of our sugya now. Is it direct or is it indirect? We get to that.
The second
hayav for
damage.
For damage, but he's a. I mean, you'll have to give the sugya a minute to kind of address your issue. But the way I'm saying it already from now is, by lighting that gadish, which has an evid connected to it, I am racing after that evid with a gun. My fire is approaching him. I am a rodef in all of those moments. That's the way, when all the dust settles, Rashba would explain this line in the Gemara. Says the Gemara. Mamon and Mavet, we always apply it. You're referring to Makot and Mamon. There's a Mahloket in the Mishnah and Makot. You might be talking about Karet and Mamon, but Mavet, you get put to death for murder. That is the case in the Torah, right? That's the case at the end of Parashat Mishpatim. Says the Gemara, Bishlama. This is all understood. I understand the law that we just addressed. Leman de Amar, according to the opinion, meaning Rabbi Yochanan Isho Mishum Hitzav. I understand, and we'll explain what that means in a moment. Mishum hache patur. For that reason, in the Sefa, in the latter part of the Mishnah that we just read, I understand why you're exempt for payment for the hay and for the gidi and for the kid. Why so? My fire, which is my bullet, is what killed that Eved lo aleinu and in turn caused the damage. I understand. That is kamle b'derabamine. That is rodef. That's the historic classical situation of my killing or going after another and killing, and as a result or in the midst of that causing damage. Ela leman de'amar isho mishum mamono amai patur. However, if I'm to imagine that fire is a little less direct than the bullet or arrow which comes forth from my hand, why would we say that I'm exempt, I'm patur in such a situation? Ilu katal tore abda. If my animal killed an eved, a slave, would you tell me that I am patur? I'm just translating those words exactly as they appear in the Gemara for the moment. We'll read Rashi and Tosafot in following moments. But for the moment, the Gemara's claim is, according to you, Resh Lakish, that the fire is considered not an extension of me. It's not like the case in the Torah where a person strikes the woman with his hand. Rabbi Yochanan would say with hand or with bullet, with hand or with arrow, with hand or with fire, all the same thing. And as a result, I understand the pitur. I understand why there's an exemption for paying for the financial charges. But according to Resh Lakish, where this isn't my hand, it's not my arrow, it's not my bullet, it's rather my property. Are you telling me that in a case where my property kills a slave, I should be exempt? Well, what is... So the question is... That might exactly be the point. Tosafot reads the Gemara exactly as you said. That's exactly the point. Hang tight. Let's translate these words now. So the rhetorical question to Resh Lakish is, Resh Lakish, are you telling me that if my property kills a slave, I should be exempt? Well, what does that mean? Well, if you look at Rashi, very difficult Rashi, on the left-hand side it says, Im katal, again, katal means kill, tore means his ox, Avda means a slave. Hachen amed ela lehayev mamon, says Rashi, that you're going to tell me that I'm not liable for paying? Haketib kesef shloshim shkalim yiten ladonav. Doesn't the pasuk in the Torah explicitly say that when your property kills a slave, you pay? In other words, the explanation of the Gemara according to Rashi goes like this. According to you, Resh Lakish, when I take a step back and I look at what took place over here, what happened over here? I lit the fire, lo aleinu, I burnt the stack of hay, I burnt the gedi, and I burnt the eved. All of them are liabilities which were not my hands doing, but rather my property doing. As a result, there's no kamle b'derabamine. I'm going ahead of myself. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, as a result, I should have to pay. Oh, I can't believe I did that. It was ruined the punchline. As a result, I shouldn't have to pay. I should have to pay for the killing the Eved. If my property kills an Eved, I'm liable. You could tell me that something else about when I kill the Eved. Over here, my property killed the Eved. As a result, I have to pay 30 shekalim. If you're telling me that fire is by definition my property, how could you tell me there's an exemption because you killed the slave? What do you mean because you killed the slave? The Torah says when you kill the slave, you pay money. And by extension, you pay money for all the other things. That's the way that Rashi, in a cryptic but straightforward statement, says it as such. He says that the halakha over here should be that I'm paying entirely. Tosafot takes a little bit of a difficulty. It has a little bit of difficulty with Rashi. Tosafot, it's the first dibura matchil in the wide lines over here where it says, katal tore abda hachen amed elal mehayev piresha kuntres, that's pehe, haketib kesef shloshim shekalim yiten ladonav. Right, that's how Rashi interpreted. Jesse, you with me? Right, the Gemara, according to Rashi, reads as follows. Since the fire which I lit is not my extension, it's rather my animal, so look at it as the pasuk explicitly in the Torah, where my animal runs out into the street, kills, gores a slave. What's the halakha? I pay 30 shekalim. You tell me for some reason there's some sort of exemption. The kashe says Tosafot, the imratza lomar duhu adin legabe isho de meshalem shloshim shel eved ha I efshar lomar ken de beperek hama amrinan de hashon meshalem shloshim shel eved ma she'en ken be'esh. Says Tosafot, I can't understand. In light of a Gemara we learned on Daf Yod, the Gemara on Daf Yod was scaling and comparing the different avot, one's more strong than the other one. I don't know, it was a good nightmare some time ago. Chomer b'shor mi ba'esh, chomer ba'esh mi b'shor, and so forth. You remember that Gemara? Well, there were a lot of them. Anyway, that Gemara over there told us the following. It said that whereas by my animal, it's a severity that the Torah says when your animal gores a slave, you pay 30 shekalim. I imagine that's a decent amount of money. When your fire kills an animal, the Gemara over there says, you don't pay 30 shekalim. So what's Rashi talking about? What's that?
Because you get the high pound.
That doesn't make any sense.
Because
then short is not more hamur than ish. The Gemara over there is saying that there's one paying and one not paying. It's not saying because. The Gemara is saying there's no obligation. Rashi on our Gemara said, if it's my fire, I should be paying 30 shekalim.
Reish Lakish's opinion that fire is shorot. That's no different than shorot. So he's not saying fire is not its own thing.
One more time. The Gemara over there is only going with Rabbi Yochanan, not with Reish Lakish. That's what you're suggesting?
Maybe.
All right, little dahuk. The Gemara should have said Bishlam Adar Biyoha or something like that. There's no mention of that over there. The Gemara now is telling us that according to Reish Lakish, Rashi's reading of it is, you should be charged for 30 shekalim even when it's your fire. The Gemara explicitly told us it's not so. Tosafot therefore says, and Tosafot says, maybe we're making a limud from kenas to mamon, you can't do that. V'nera l'ri, some three lines down in this Tosafot, ha'che parich, ha'che namer de'la mechaye b'mamon shehizik, im harigat ha'eved, v'ha b'dava shemamono oseh, lo shayach kimle b'drabba mine. Says Tosafot, the explanation of the Gemara alternatively is as Judah said it from the onset on this line in the Gemara. What the Gemara means to say is the following. According to you, Reish Lakish, where the killing wasn't you directly, Jesse was speaking this out briefly beforehand as well, but rather indirectly because it was my property, we don't say such a principle of kam le b'derabamine. So whereas Rashi said, and therefore you pay 30, no, you're not paying 30. I don't know where he came up with that 30. 30 is if your animal kills. But over here, at the very least, we should say that the fire, it's not exactly an animal, but it's not my hands, it's not my bullet, it's not my arrow, and as a result, in killing that Eved, as a result of my fire, I should not be saying kam le b'drabamine. I should not be saying, well, I'm liable for death penalty. I'm not liable for death penalty. And as a result, I should pay for everything. The words of the Gemara are a little difficult according to Tosafot, as Maharsha points out, because the words of the Gemara seem to be focusing on the payment of a shor. It's not exactly simple why the Gemara does that. But in short, the Gemara, let's just briefly summarize what we've gotten up to here in the Gemara. The Gemara is questioning Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish, your claim, your explanation is that fire, how do I envision fire? Fire's like my animal running around. How do you explain this case in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, if I lit the Gadish on fire, and there was an Eved who was kafut, who was tied up to it, in such a circumstance, I don't pay for the heap of hay and I don't pay for the animal nearby. Why not? Oh, because you're liable for death penalty for killing the slave. Not true. I'm not liable for death penalty for killing the slave. What do you mean? Of course you are. Resh Lakish told me. It's like my animal gourd. Now, I might not be paying 30 shekalim, as Rashi seemed to tell me, but at the very least, I'm not getting put to death. You're not telling me I'm being put to death because my animal gourd. It's a terrible thing, but that's not the halakha. It's not the halakha, ironically, even when my animal kills a not avid. That's the halakha. If property kills, you're not liable for death penalty.
How far does someone take this with a sword?
Ish. I
understand, but it's
a sword. Only Ish. Head bullets. Resh Lakish agrees with Rabbi Yochanan. The question is, what is Ish? There is a Hidush in this Sugya already. The Hidush in this Sugya, which we're just accepting, you know, we received that and put it in our pocket and we didn't question it, which might be what you're a little bit touching on, is the fact that we presented these two opinions, Resh Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, at the onset about a halakha with regards to nezik, damage. Who said it applies to death penalty? Ran, at the very beginning, you might recall, told us maybe it applies to Shabbat. Who said it applies to Shabbat? Someone yelled that out when I read the Ran's question at the beginning. Who said it applies to Shabbat? Maybe this is halakha nizikin. Who said it applies to death penalty? The sugya, there is a Ran, the Tosafot, and Ran, it holek on this in Masechet Sanhedrin and Daf Samich Zayin. This is a sugya that needs to be dealt with. The Gemara is matter-of-factly assuming that we should apply these two logics of how we envision fire to not only damages, but for death as well. That much is clear, but a sword is a sword. I mean, there's no question.
Bangs make killer dog. Holding it is not a cat.
I mean, that's what he's doing. He's effectively setting him up. He's tying him up.
That's what
I'm on fire. It's like, I don't see the difference between
a street murder.
Only for it to be Ohana.
The guy's tied up. He can't get away. He's smart.
How do you guys differentiate that from a sword?
Listen, we saw Mishnah in Sanhedrin where if you take even a snake and you clamp down the snake, and the question is the eris, is the poison of the snake in its teeth or does it need to inject it? It's still indirect. If it needs to inject it independent of your action, so it's indirect. The fact that you didn't directly, the Gemara is suggesting, you're not. You're lighting the Gadish on fire. Right. Listen, the next line of the Gemara is you're lighting him on fire. At this point, you're not lighting him on fire. You're lighting the Gadish on fire.
The first one is he's not
doing
the next line of the Gemara.
No. The next line of the Gemara is not retracting this. The next line of the Gemara is suggesting that the case is you lit the person on fire. But we are nonetheless. You should still be uncomfortable. That's all I'm saying. You said Jeffrey's discomfort should still stand, and that is the fact that if I'm not directly lighting him, not everybody, Resh Lakish is assuming you're not liable. As Judah pointed out, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you are. You're a Rodef, according to Rabbi Yochanan.
If you're directly lighting him, what's the question? If you're directly lighting him,
all right, you're four lines ahead of us. Jared's one line, you're four lines. Where's Eli when we need him?
The Gadish is the mechanism that will light him. You're
shining animal fire, you're really shooting. You're really shooting on fire.
You put the whole one. Again, it's a mechanism that you use clearly to kill him if he's caught up.
Right. So
which again is Jeffrey's very pointed example. I have a rabid, crazy dog, and I let it straight out at you. Yeah, we're saying, according to Resh Lakish, in this, not only according to Resh Lakish, we're saying according to everyone. The only question is, what's fire? According to everyone, the fact that it's a dog, the fact that it's a property which is indirect, already makes me not liable for death penalty.
Yeah, but fire is fire would be that different case.
Okay, that's Rabbi Yochanan or Resha. Says the Gemara, okay, point taken in terms of discomfort, I accept. Says the Gemara, Amar lecha Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, that's the same thing as Resh Lakish, Resh Lakish is short for that. He would tell you, Hacha b'may askinan, again, our difficulty is, how come over here you're telling me I'm liable for death penalty? I'm explaining it like Tosafot, easily. How come you tell me I'm liable for death penalty, and therefore, when I lit up this Gadish, I'm exempt for killing I'm exempt for the hay and exempt for the animal. It shouldn't be so. I shouldn't be liable for death penalty for killing this slave. We should imagine it like my property which killed this slave. Answers the Gemara, Keshi Hisit Begufo Shel Eved Dekamle B'Darabamine. Says the Gemara, the case must be, according to Resh Lakish, not as we imagined, as we read it initially, that I lit up, that I set on fire the Gadish, the pile, the heap of hay, which in turn and killed the slave. No, I directly killed the slave with my fire. In that situation, everybody agrees, even Resh Lakish, that's your bullets. That's no different than what we learned earlier. Remember the infamous case, the case with the coffee falling down, I think it was, when you're passing by outside of the building and your animal is carrying the fire and you are throughout the building just walking around with that fire. In that situation, Resh Lakish as well says, that's you, that's direct. There's no question over there. That's Hitzav. The only question between Resh Lakish and Biohanan that they disagree about is when it's extended further, when it started here and it spread there, when it's a fire activity. Over here, this isn't a fire activity. This is literally, instead of my gun, I took my fire.
That the enemy dies, not just get burned.
No, that's the case. That's what we're dealing with.
That's what the Mishnah. I don't know.
That's what the Mishnah is.
A little bit in the back, and I probably don't understand it.
Yeah, no.
It says something about not
for God. No. Whatever you're reading, you're misunderstanding. No, that's all good. It's all good. I need students like that. Rabbi, I just cheated on the test. I don't know, this is like a liar situation. Anyway, it says but you got it wrong. That's the lesson. Don't cheat because anyway, we'll address whatever you're referring to afterwards. Anyway, says the Gemara, Hacha b'may askinan kesheisit begufo shel eved dekamle b'derabamine. Says the Gemara, the case must be you in such a circumstance lit the eved, the slave, directly. Keep in mind the slave is tied up. As a result, says Rashi, dehavadai mamash harago. That is direct killing. The fire which is lit onto him. We're not dealing with fire which spread, and I might be able to say mamono or something of that sort. He's tied up. It's the sefa of the Mishnah. In such a circumstance, kamle b'derabamine. Still, kamle b'derabamine. This is where Rashba really addresses the question of Judah. What's kamle b'derabamine in such a circumstance? Difficult. What are you talking about? You killed the guy by burning him. His property is burnt afterwards. So you tell me the opposite over here. Generally speaking, we say you killed over here. So that's what Rashba suggests. The person didn't die immediately. You lit him on fire. The guy is screaming out loud. As he's screaming, and as I'm sorry, I don't want to make it too graphic, but as the point is, it's extended, and therefore, says Rashba, you're rodef through the whole thing.
Not dead until he's dead.
Yes, so you say it's still not kam lebe derabamine. Kam lebe derabamine, as Judah said, it's in the very same moment. It's over here, you're rodef. You are running after him with that thing the whole time.
So you're running,
burning
man, and he's like,
not me. This guy came to another person, lit the guy directly on fire. That fire spread into the animal nearby and to the heap. The question is, but wait a second, I'm only exempt for in the split second that I kill. The answer is he didn't die immediately. He's on fire, he's burning and screaming, and everything's burning in that time period. You might still say, that's not kamle, that's what he's a rodif. I'm like running after him the whole time. The fact that he's burning is my threat to his life the whole time, and as a result, I'm exempt from any financial liabilities throughout. That's the suggestion. There is an additional Hidush, as Tosafot points out. The end of this longer Tosafot, Vayag Gidish, you could look at the end, they point out the following. Tosafot points out, keep in mind, we're now, according to Resh Lakish, mixing and matching two different types of eshes, because I've now esh killed him, and I've esh mamoned him. Do you understand what that means? I've put the fire to him directly, Isho Mishum Hitzav, even according to Resh Lakish, which now spread to the others, but that's my property damaging. You could have conceivably said, well, you're not exempt. You killed him, your property burned. That's what Tosafot explains. Our Gemara is assuming.
Two things, we call him a kill, it's Hitzav.
mitzvah and mamlo?
The answer is no. We don't. We're making him exempt, right? The Gemara, the Gemara is saying, according to Resh Lakish, even though I'm, quote, a killer and a setting into effect burning damage, I'm an Ishoh, which is direct, and an Ishoh, which is indirect, mamono, nonetheless, we're saying, kam lebe de rabamine. Well, that being the case, the Gemara then has answered for Resh Lakish. We're still not fully comfortable. I understand why.
Because he owns the Eved? So it's his property?
No, not my property. No, I lit someone else's Eved on fire. I lit someone else's Eved on fire for argument's sake. The Gemara, the Tosafot will question why it needs to be that detailed. But let's say, for the moment, I lit someone else's Eved on fire.
If I lit my Eved, what would happen?
It's an interesting point. Tosafot points out the same exact thing. This is what Tosafot gets bothered by. They said the Gemara in a moment is going to say there's a novelty over here. That was Jesse's question. What's the novelty? What's the Hidush? The Hidush is, well, death penalty to one and financial liabilities to another, potentially. That's what the Gemara is going to suggest. Says Tosafot, I don't understand. If it's all one person, it doesn't make a difference. If you kill your own Eved, it's the same liability. So Tosafot says, yeah, all right, it's bigger Hidush. I mean, but your point is spot on in terms of there shouldn't be really a difference. We'll read that in Tosafot, hopefully.
Why does list Eved? Why can't it just be a regular person? You become a person of others.
Eved is property.
No, but it's he tying down the Chayav enemies. Yeah. Just like the Chayav of the regular person.
No, but he's right. It's because Eved is property. It's a side of mammon.
No, but ultimately speaking, the Hidush, it's for the Resha of the Mishnah, I think. For the Resha of the Mishnah, where. I'm not certain. I'm not certain. I'm not certain. What's.
If you had a regular person.
Okay, hold for a moment. So says the Gemara again. So Amalech Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish hacha b'may askinad kishi hitzit begufo shel eved. Dekamle b'derabamine. Says the Gemara, ihache may lememra. You won't be able to read this next line, Joey, according to you. Ihache may lememra. If that's the case, that you lit the eved on fire directly, and that's why you're exempt from all the other things, so then what's the hidush according to you, Resh Lakish? It's one thing if you tell me you didn't light the Eved directly on fire, and the Hidush is the fact that the fire spread. We still look at it as if it's a direct action. It's Mishum Hitzav when it killed him. So what's the Hidush according to you, Resh Lakish? You directly killed the guy. It's like putting a bullet in his head. Terrible thing to talk about, but in the scheme of things, of course you're going to be exempt. Answers the Gemara, La tziricha begedi dehad ve'eved dehad. You see what the answer of the Gemara is, Joey. It won't work according to you, necessarily according to what you were questioning. But says the Gemara, the case must be that there are different ownerships over here. What do I mean, different ownerships? I walk out to the field, and here's the gadish, and tied up to it is an eved. And then there's someone else's kid nearby. I light the Eved directly on fire, the Gadish gets burnt, and then someone else's Gedi gets killed. What's the halakha going to be in such a circumstance? Am I going to be liable? On the one hand, I'm going to say to the guy, remember the shootout in the street? I say to the family, the person says to the family, I'm not paying for the dry cleaners. I'm getting put to death because of your relative. What if, as a result of all that shooting, you broke some storefront glass? Can you say the same thing to them? That's what our Gemara is saying. Yes, even though the death penalty is because of one and the financial restitution is because of another, we're saying you're exempt. The fact that on your head there's a bullet, that exempts you. Without, and I don't think we will go back to it per se tomorrow. Even though it's two separate parts, entirely exempts you. I'm not going to learn it necessarily together tomorrow, but you can look in this Tosafot. Tosafot Dibura Matchid Begedi Dehad Ve'Avda Dehad. It's a very famous and significant Tosafot where they question, seems to be a stira, contradiction in Sugyot, in Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Yod and Daf Ayin Dalit, whether this is actually the halakha. There's fundamental two answers that they suggest. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen, ve'amen, ve'chanan amut shamar asahka.